Welcome to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. What is the nowra.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nowra. Today we have Liza Butler, who was elected the member of South Coast during the New South Wales state election on March 25, 2023. So coming up on 3 years in office. She brings years of experience as a former Shoalhaven City Councillor and a small business owner, and she's committed to helping Nowra's communities thrive. She's also an avid lover of the ocean, both in ocean conservation and swimming in it and paddleboarding. Morning, Liza. How's it going?
Good morning. Great to be here, Baron.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for coming to Triple U Studios. Really awesome that we have this location in Nowra that we're able to use to record this podcast. So thanks for coming in person. We're going to get straight into it. What's the most underrated thing about Nowra that people always get wrong?
I think a lot of people just drive through Nowra and they don't realise what's here and what's to offer and all the groups that are available and, you know, some great food places, but arts groups and pottery groups and woodworking groups and you name it, theatre, local theatre. It's got something for everyone, and I think the people are the one thing that's really underrated, and how those groups bring people together.
Yeah, and it's been actually a common theme that's been coming through the podcast, and even what this nowra.org.au project is about is celebrating the people, and those people are the ones who create those community groups and actually create a community. So that's definitely been a theme that's come up so far. What is your earliest memory of this town, or how did you end up in Nowra?
Look, I've always lived on the South Coast, but I've lived further, either slightly further up or further down the coast than Nowra. And so it's always just been driving through. And it wasn't until I was a councillor that I really discovered Nowra and spent time here and got to know the people and got to know, you know, the areas of Nowra. And so I guess it was always just like everyone who goes down the coast, it's a place you drive through and you don't stop to find out what's actually here.
Yeah. What drove you to be a councillor? What was that inspiration?
It was probably the fires and, you know, becoming invested in my community and wanting to stand up for people. So I was a Ward 3 councillor, so I was representing people from Sanctuary Point down to Depot Beach. So it really wasn't up this end of town. If you ask me anything about the far end of the Shoalhaven, I can tell you absolutely anything. And so it was until I was a councillor, and you do represent everyone, even though you in a ward, you get to know everything about the area. And so that's when my love of Nowra started to grow and what it had to offer.
You're forced to spend more time here.
I spent an awful lot of time here as a councillor.
It's really interesting how those fires were such a catalyst for change. Like, I can think my own experience, was living in New York City, watching those fires, watching them get closer and closer to our family home. And then, you know, on January 4th, our house was meant to burn down, and I decided to fly home that day to help clean up the mess. And our house wasn't burnt. The winds changed direction that day, but just how much that actually impacted the community as a whole. You know, the weeks and weeks and weeks of it was the drought that was leading up to it, but then the weeks and weeks and weeks of the heavy smoke and the sirens and all that kind of thing. It was a lot of stress on the community.
It was an awful lot of stress. And I live in Bawley Point, which was the first community hit by the fires. And so it swirled our town for a week with, as you said, the wind changed dramatically, and it would come from one direction, you'd fight it off, and then you'd have a breathing space, and it would come from another direction. And so I think we were 7 days before it finally hit Bawley on the 5th of December. And we were lucky. Our house was burnt, but we didn't lose it. But just that experience. And I remember on that 5th of December, the fire, the wind changing, and it protected the rest of Bawley. But then suddenly you feel guilty and thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen to Lake Tabauri? Mm. And then on tenterhooks, waiting for news, what happened there? And, you know, once again, it got to the back fences of those houses at Lake Tabauri and the wind changed.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. But then we saw it go on for 6 long weeks, 72 days, I think it was.
Yeah.
And in that time, it was like you were living in a monochrome, you know, because there was no colour. Mm. The landscape was burnt. There was grey skies. So then there was no blue seas. Mm. There was ash in the water.
Mm.
And there was no bird life. There was no sound of anything. It was like living in a surreal world. And then seeing so many people up and down the coast lose houses, it was really gut-wrenching. And the world, like you were in New York, and the world was focused on us. And then suddenly we went into COVID. Or we had a flood first. Can't forget that. And then we went into COVID and the world forgot about us. Mm. And so it was a really hard time here in the Shoalhaven.
Mm. And, you know, like that was your catalyst to wanting to go into council, but what part of it? Was it wanting to have better systems? Was it wanting to do more? Was it wanting to give back? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, look, I've before having my own business, I worked in state and federal government and worked in community services. So I've always had a community focus. But it was the catalyst for council and then running for state was the fires, the 5th of December, the day that I was told, stop making a fuss, community is not our problem. I thought, well, if you're not here for community, then why are you here?
Mm.
And we need to be have someone at local government. I needed to test the waters and see if I could, you know, have that public life.
Mm.
And I found that I really loved it. And so I put my hand up for state. But I'm totally community focused and supporting communities to be resilient and have their voice.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that lived experience, and it's nice to hear a little bit more about that. Yeah, so you went from government and then you had your own businesses for a while, and then it's like, okay, I can do this. How has it been, you know, in the lead up and running for state parliament? Because like politics is a contact sport, like it's not easy.
Yeah, you have to be ready to stand up and fight, and I was ready for that. But I was also lucky that I did have that experience in working inside government as a bureaucrat to understand government processes and how things work. So I think if you had never had that experience and that work experience, it would be tough, because it's tough anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's 93 of me across the state and I'm competing with every single one of them to get what we need here in the Shoalhaven and the South Coast. So, you know, it's a fight every single day, but it's a good fight and I keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you. Well, I said we weren't going to get too much into politics in this conversation, and I did really want to hear about your personal story. But, you know, you've now been member for almost 3 years. How has that experience been for you, as, you know, for the last 3 years of just going to Sydney, being in state parliament, dealing with the South Coast and everything? And I believe the electorate, is it Berry to, how far does it stay?
No, it's from the bridge here in Nowra to North Durris.
North Durris.
So it's quite a long stretch of the coastline, long, narrow stretch.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think I've got 29 towns and villages, and everyone has their, you know, own concerns, their own issues. Some are common, some are intrinsic to that town. So it's about getting to know the town and the villages and the people in it and what they need. And so I'm out and about really 7 days a week and meeting with those people. And I guess it's the connections you make and the people that you meet every day. And, you know, the job kind of gets easier because you know everyone and they will ring you up or email and say, hey, we've got this issue. When you're out here next, can we chat about this? And so I'm on to those. Instead of having to go into every village and find that out, I'm already on to those issues now. So it's good.
Yeah, I guess after 3 years of doing it, and I even know that experience. Like, we met last year, we made a connection at the Business Awards, and then we've chatted and we've done some other things together. And now I feel like I have that personal connection with you.
Yeah.
And like, nothing's come up, but if something does, I feel like I can reach out. And I think that's really important.
And I think that's important for people to know that they can reach out at any time.
Yeah, yeah. I have heard you do check your phone at 3 a.m. in the mornings.
Yeah, I am a bit guilty of that. There's a lot of work and you have to keep on top of it.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And I guess, like, it's interesting to think about, you know, there's some politicians who are career politicians and make this their lifetime work. And it's, I guess it's like, how do you build a sustainable career? And it's, that's, you know, part of the challenge, I guess. And it's
and that is a challenge. And I'm not a lifetime politician. I'm not a career politician. I got in for a specific reason, because I thought that we needed to be community focused. We needed to focus on the people of the South Coast. Mm. And I'm here to do a job. Mm. I'm not here for, you know, because I want to be a minister or I want to be anything else. All I want to be is the member for South Coast and do a really good job at it.
Yeah, that's cool. And thanks for sharing that. I just had a thought, you know, when you were explaining your electorate, Nowra, to Duras. There's a lot of beaches.
Lots of beaches. 100, I believe.
100 beaches. And you're an ocean lover, a self-proclaimed ocean lover, in the ocean, on top of the ocean, conserving the ocean. Yeah, talk us a little bit about your love for the ocean.
Yeah, I've grown up, you know, living by the beach my whole life. I can't remember not going to the beach. In fact, some of my earliest memories are going to the beach when my older brothers were at school with my mum and having the time of my life looking in rock pools. So I guess it's just something that my father used to say, that salt water ran through my veins, not blood. And I find that if I haven't had a swim, then I get a little bit antsy. You know, I'm a swimmer all year round in winter. Last year when I broke my leg, I really suffered not getting in the water. That was really hard, but anything to do with the water. Right now, I'm a few groups have come to me, dive groups, about shark fishing close to popular swimming beaches. We've seen a rise of that this year, and they're putting burley out with drones just behind swim breaks. I'm on a mission right now to stop shark fishing off popular swimming beaches. Not stopping shark fishing, but, you know, we've seen more shark attacks this summer than we have in many other years. We had four in 4 days over Christmas. Mm. And a week ago, we were announced as the shark capital of the world.
Australia.
Yeah. And so, you know, if we can stop one life, you know, being, you know, taken by a shark from shark fishing off a beach. But I would like to see, you know, JB Marine Park revisited. Mm. I'm already proud that we've stopped cruise ships coming into Jervis Bay, mm. you know, because of the pollution that they do. So, you know, our ocean is precious and we really need to look after it.
Yeah.
Well, it's why people come to the South Coast for our beaches. Yeah. And if you go all over the world, I don't think you see beaches as nice as what we have here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I lived overseas and I remember my friends in New York taking me to upstate New York to go to Montauk to the beach. And I got to the beach. I was like, this is the beach we traveled 4 hours to come to.
I did the same thing. I went to school in New Jersey.
That's right.
And Jersey Shore. Everyone said, I was on the Jersey Shore and everyone's like, oh, the beaches. And I got there and I was like, oh, I didn't even get in the water there.
We're not beach snobs. We're just lucky to grow up in a very blessed, blessed part of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are some of the challenges that are facing the South Coast electorate at the moment?
Oh, look, we've, you know, our roads, even, you know, the state's responsible for the highway. I've done some trips up north and you look at what they've done there in the last 30 years since that, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Grafton bus crash, which was, you know, terrible. Mm. But since then, they've put so much money into the road up there. It's now time for the South Coast. You know, you get just past Nowra and then we have this windy road that where the road was closed just this week for hours, or last Thursday it was. You know, we have far too many accidents. We really need money in our roads. Our schools, I'm proud to say that we've put a lot of money into our schools because they were all overcrowded and neglected. Education's really important to me. Supporting our police, getting our numbers back up is really important because we all want to live in a safe, supported environment. But, you know, the growth in around the whole of the South Coast, but we are going to see Ulladulla and Nowra really change over the next 10 years, especially Nowra.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I have read some of the state government's plans for the Nowra area, particularly the riverfront. Is there anything that that you can share with us, or anything that you've seen, or you can talk about those projects?
Yeah, look, I'm really excited about that project because I think that's the revitalisation of Nowra. And alongside the revitalisation is about us all being proud of Nowra, mm. because a lot of people don't want to say oh, Nowra, you know, without pride. And I think we should all be proud of Nowra. Mm. But what the revitalisation of the riverfront and the Mandalay precinct, which is the social and affordable housing, and then the council's part where they're rezoning with the help of the state government, the rest of the properties around the pool area and Jervis Street. So that will change. We'll see private enterprise do some apartment buildings. We'll have beautiful linkages with the riverfront, which we don't celebrate enough and we don't make the most of. And then linking back into town. And I hope to see that the main street is revitalised, that we have that beautiful parkland and cafes and, you know, cultural events held to make us all really want to come into Nowra and be a part of it.
Yeah, and I think it actually ties in really well with the Nowra.org.au project. So for those of you who don't know, it was a state government funded project. We had a 12-month training course, basically, where you had to come and we were basically a group of passionate people from Nowra. We were volunteers and we came, and each month they would have a different workshop of basically kind of what you were saying is like, how do you revitalize an area? There was a team from Bury, there was a team from Sussex. And so we all kind of, traveled up. There's a team from Husky as well. We all traveled to these events, learnt these things. And then at the end of it, they're like, okay, now there's a grant opportunity. And for me, it was a really great process because it weeded out all the unserious people at the start. But by the time we applied for the grant, we had the skills to be able to execute on it. And it ties in so well with what is happening naturally here with Nowra, with the riverfront and the revitalization, is that nowra.org.au can then be advocates for everything that's going on. And so we've got like 120 members now of businesses and individuals who have signed up to be part of our part of our team, I guess, to help. And so in that way, we're doing that thing where we're trying to make people feel more proud and have a brand and something that people can get behind. And, you know, telling stories and getting people like yourself in today is part of that as well.
I actually love the way that Nowra.org went about their grant and what you're actually doing, because a lot of the recipients of those grants did an event or a festival or something as part of that, whereas you're putting your money into the long-term pride and, you know, promotion of Nowra and getting grassroots. If you don't have the people who live here to be proud to say, I'm from Nowra, then having a festival now and again is doesn't really solve the problem. So the way you went about the grant and what you're doing is different to everywhere else, and I really applaud that, and I'm really proud of it, and I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm looking forward to doing some sessions with the youth centre here in Nowra and helping them all make I Love Nowra t-shirts, and let's start at young, grassroots, and get our kids to be proud of Nowra and be proud to say I am from Nowra. And let's all celebrate Nowra and its surrounds.
Yeah, and I think that too, like changing the narrative, you know, and I think grassroots is so important. I think of my own experience growing up in Nowra, going to Nowra High, like I had a pretty negative attitude towards Nowra, and as soon as I could, I left. You know, that was my story, and part of me coming back was to try and rewrite that a little bit. And I realized just how abundantly beautiful this place is and how authentic the people are. And so, you know, it takes some maturity to probably realize that. And I think, like, if we can share those stories or remind kids that, hey, it's actually, you've got it pretty good here, then we're doing a good job. So thank you for that. So has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a positive impression for you?
Look, I think it's every Sunday in Junction Street leaves a lasting impression on me every week. I turn up to the Sunday group outside the Nowra Medical Centre with the Sikh community and some women from Kangaroo Valley who do clothing. They call themselves the Sunday Community Support Group. And I rock up there every Sunday, and it's the rawness of the people. It's the need in the community, but it's about people helping other people. And, you know, I absolutely do my best work on the street on Nowra on a Sunday afternoon and helping those people that wouldn't know that they could come to me. But, you know, it's just really beautiful to see. It's kind of a little community there every Sunday, and I really look forward to driving up to Nowra just for that. So, it's real and it's raw and it's Nowra.
Yeah, you have spoken about that, and you know, I think that, do you want to share a few details of that if anyone wants to get involved or how people can access that?
Yeah, look, if you want to help out on a Sunday afternoon, we're there from about 3:30, 3:45 we start setting up, and we're there till about 5:30, depending on how many people are there and how, if everything's gone. If you've got food, like non-perishable food or clothing you want to donate, you can drop it off to my office in Plunkett Street, or if you live up Berry Way, you can leave it at the Berry IGA and it will get collected. It's just people come and drop things off each week. You can drop it off while we're there. It's really beautiful to see, and it's a lovely group of community, and the Sikh community are so generous with, they cook between 150 to 200 hot meals every week. And then I personally supply 20 bags of groceries, and then we have also whatever's donated as well. So it's a really special afternoon, and I'm really pleased. I say to the volunteers there, we help one person at a time. And, you know, I've had some great outcomes of helping especially women over 55 to gain permanent housing. Mm. I've helped stop people being evicted from their housing. It's and they would never have come to me for that help. And often I have to sit there on the street, you know, and talk to them for a few Sundays in a row before they'll open up to me. But when they do and I've got their trust, then I can really do something to help them. So it's really rewarding.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And especially for any kind of business owners who are listening to this, if you have something to share or give, it's a really great way to give back to our community. So I want to go back to politics for a moment. If there was someone who was interested in starting out at politics, and it's not me, but asking for a friend, you know, what would be your advice of going in to join council and or run, you know, for state government? What's the experience like, and do you have any tips for anyone who might want to do that?
Yeah, look, join a community group if you're already in one, you know what volunteering is about, because you do volunteer a lot of your time, and be committed. If you can't commit to something, then don't do it, because your life is consumed. So when I was on council, I was a business owner, and so that was a huge juggle. But you have to go to events, you have to go to meetings, you have to go to community things. Now that I'm an MP and I no longer have a business, my job is 7 days a week. And if you're not committed to doing that time, to all those MPs with children, I take my hat off, because it must be an absolute juggle, because it's not an easy job, and you can never please absolutely everybody. You've just got to do the best you can, but you must be committed and try to understand the process of government, because if you just ran without understanding what the processes are and how government works, it would be very, very hard for you. But starting on council is a really great way, because you can tread the water on being in public life, because your life is quite public and whatever you say is reported on. So if you can handle that, and you have to get a bit of a tough shell, but then it's also, are you committed to the time, and are you committed to serve the people of your community? Because I'm a public servant and I'm there to help everybody in the community, no matter who they vote for. I am there for them.
Yeah, you have children.
I have 5 children, but they're adults. They didn't sign up for public life. I did. And I think it would be very hard if you had younger children, because of the time and the time you're away from home and the time you are committed to doing your job. It's 3 full-time jobs.
Yeah. I've met 2 of your children. They're lovely, lovely humans. okay, so what do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years?
I hope that the people that live here are proud to say that I'm from Nowra. I hope that we have a connected community and a great arts community and cultural community, because I think they bring a lot to wherever we live. I would love to see the riverfront really celebrated and beautiful linkages into our town. I'd like to see it vibrant. I'd like to see, you know, music festivals day as well as night. I would like to see lovely restaurants here in Nowra, and I think that that will happen in 10 years and I can't wait to see it.
Great. Yeah, and I think one of the projects that we're working on at nowra.org.au is that we're working on basically a showcase of opportunities. It's called Opportunity Nowra, and we're going to invite entrepreneurs, businesses, restaurant owners who may want to franchise and move, you know, have an, open a second or third location. We're showing the available spaces, and we're showing like, how they can land in a business community like we have and support that. So, you know, we're doing that to really encourage and show off, you know, we're like the ad, we're going to advertise the spots and then try and get those people, because that's what we need, is we need entrepreneurs, we need business people who have skin in the game to develop those things, those businesses, and those fill the spaces at the river as well. So
yeah.
Who is one person whose story you'd love to hear on this podcast?
Dr. Gurdeep Singh Bhagari, who has the medical center in Nowra, who opens it up on a Sunday afternoon for the community support group. People can walk into that surgery without a Medicare card if they're on a, you know, student visa, or if they're on a temporary visa and they don't have the money, he will see them for free. He supports the Sikh community to do what they do for our wider community. And I'd love to hear his story and how he came to Australia and why he does what he does for the Nowra community and the most disadvantaged in our community. Because I think that when you lift up the most disadvantaged people in a community, you help absolutely everybody in a community. And I'd love to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, awesome. All right, season two coming at you. Any asks of the people of Nowra?
Be proud of Nowra. Get involved in things in Nowra. Support, you know, events in Nowra, because if we don't support the events, if we don't come out for them, then we won't have them, and Nowra won't grow into something that we all love and want to be a part of.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. All right. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Thanks Triple U for having us here at your lovely studio, and we'll see you next episode. Thank you for listening to the Nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We are recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.